This Is Your Life, Season 2, Episode 1. Welcome to This Is Your Life with Michael Hyatt, where our goal is to give you the clarity, courage, and commitment you need to do what matters. My name is Michelle Cashat. I'm your co-host today, and I'm sitting in the studio with Michael Hyatt. Hey there, Michael.
Hey, Michelle.
So, welcome back.
Thank you. I'm thrilled to be back.
You just got back from a month on sabbatical, traveling around Europe with your beautiful wife, Gail. How was that?
You know, it was so amazing. It was the trip of a lifetime. We'd planned this, we've dreamed about it, and it was something that she wanted to do since she lived in Switzerland when she was in college. And we were able to make it happen, and it was just extraordinary in every way.
So how many, you were literally gone a full month, right?
We were, yeah, 30 full days.
And how many different places did you visit?
Well, we started in Amsterdam. We flew into Amsterdam from the U.S., and we'd heard that that was kind of a soft landing for Americans because they speak English, and it was very easy.
So you don't
us.
Feel like a complete idiot when you land,
exactly.
Right?
Exactly. So we spent about 3 days there. Then we flew to Vienna.
Okay.
And then we rented a car. And I was a little scared about this because I did this in Scotland and they drive on a different side of the road there. But in Europe, they drive on the same side of the road as we do here in America. So it wasn't so tough. But picked up a car in Vienna, stayed there for a few days. Then we drove to Salzburg, you know, got that whole sense of the Sound of Music. We loved that. It rained most of the time, unfortunately, there. And then we went into Bavaria, which is southern part of Germany, mm-hmm. and then into Switzerland. And those three countries is where we spent most of the time.
That is amazing. Now, I followed along on Facebook and Instagram. The pictures were breathtaking. I mean, some of those pictures looked like a postcard, like a professional picture. It was amazing.
Well, you know, I had some people ask me if those were my pictures or I, you know, got them off online somewhere. But I took every single one of those pictures. And part of the fun of it was, and I've done this for several sabbaticals now, where I've really tried to focus on something I wanted to learn. And in this case, I really wanted to take my photography to the next level. So I went through 5 photography courses in 30 days.
Of course you did.
but then every day I was out shooting. So I was learning new things and trying new things. And one of the big things that I did this time was I went fully manual on my camera. So in the past I've done, you know, the program mode and I let the camera handle mm-hmm. most of it. But this time I was challenged in one of the courses I took to go fully manual. So I'm picking, and I don't want to get too geeky, but I'm picking the ISO and the aperture and the shutter speed. And it was just really fun.
Do you know what I just heard? I heard blah, 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 blah. I heard nothing on beside that. Okay,
exactly.
But that's cool. You took great okay. pictures. In short, that's what you're trying to say, is you took great pictures. You learned a lot about it.
I did. And honestly, Europe had some amazing, unbelievable scenery. You know, I spent a lot of time in the Rocky Mountains, as you know. You live
uh-huh.
there.
Mm-hmm.
But I spent a lot of time there. But the Alps are just different. I don't know what the Rockies are beautiful in their own way. I don't want to offend any of my friends in Colorado, but the Alps are just so breathtaking. And these huge glacier-covered mountains and these deep, green, verdant valleys, you know, it's unbelievable.
Well, I can tell you by following along the pictures, you definitely made me want to take a similar trip. I don't know that I could do it for a whole entire month, but... Mm. If I could, that would be, I mean, that really would be ideal. This was a true sabbatical for you. You really wanted to remove yourself from work and
yep.
take a full month to just unplug, correct?
Yeah, exactly. And when I've done sabbaticals in the past, I don't know if they're really fairly termed sabbaticals. Because like last year, I wrote a new book on my sabbatical. And that was work, different kind of work.
Mm-hmm.
And I was really focused and that was good. And it was a great change of pace. And I was creating, which was good. But to do something I would never do otherwise, which is spend that much time with my wife and to focus on creativity through photography, mm-hmm. it was so restorative to my soul.
It was kind of, you know, I kind of thought of from the standpoint, there's been a lot of studies done on the therapeutic benefit of play, you
yes.
know, of doing things that are, you do it just for the sake of the fun of it, not necessarily
yep.
because it's accomplishing something. And that's what it really sounded like you were doing.
Well, I think we need these kind of rhythms in our life. You know, where we work hard, but then we play. And if you just work hard all the time, in fact, I used to have this executive at Thomas Nelson when I was in the corporate world that would never take a vacation. And in many places, that becomes a badge of honor. In fact, I just heard a statistic yesterday on the news. They said the average American has 4 unused days of vacation every year.
Oh, wow.
Every year. Why would you
take
your vacation
time? What a shame.
Why
wouldn't you take it?
I know. And I think they think it's a badge of honor. You know, we talked about this when we did an episode on the book Essentialism, but exhaustion has become kind of the new status symbol.
Mm-hmm.
And the truth is we're not as productive as we are when we cycle through that work and then a period of rest. I think, you know, God kind of set it up that way.
Yeah, I agree. And for those of us that are self-employed entrepreneurs, we don't necessarily get paid vacation. And so
that's right.
It's very easy to get stuck in this mode of, you know, if you don't work, you don't get paid as an entrepreneur. I mean, if you don't do a job, you don't get any kind of income. So taking off a week of work isn't paid vacation in that sense. I mean, you're just literally removing yourself from any kind of income. So it almost makes it hard to take that step to do it.
Well, it does. And if you talk to people in the corporate world, they say, well, my boss would never give me that much time off. If you talk to people who are self-employed, they said, my business can't afford for me to be gone that long. So either way, you're kind of stuck. And I think there's a different way of thinking about it that makes it possible.
I agree. So now sabbatical comes from the Hebrew word Shabbat, which is Sabbath, which literally means ceasing. Hopefully I said that word correctly. It means ceasing, to cease work and to rest. And that's literally what it's all about. And in the educator world, you know, college level teachers, educators typically take that type of time off once every 7 years. That's also a biblical reference as well.
Right.
Once every 7 years to take off a full year. Now, you didn't do a full year, you did a month, but still a month has its benefits. So what I want you to, before we dive into the how-tos of taking a sabbatical, what I'd like you to do is kind of lay the foundation for why it's necessary. Because I can already feel my own sense of resistance of, yes, it sounds great. Yes, I'd love to take a month and travel with my husband to Europe, but it's just not practical. I've got a bunch of kids, I've got a job, I can't do that. So before we get into the how-tos, tell me why I need to make this a priority.
Well, we've kind of alluded to this some, and I think we're set up to need this cycling of not only hard work. Work has its own therapeutic benefit, but we also need that coupled with rest. And if we try to do with one without the other, you know, we risk burnout, damage to our most important relationships. There's a lot of negative psychological detriment, I guess, is the word I'm looking for, that comes when we don't rest adequately. And most people are not getting enough rest. They're not getting enough play. They're not getting enough diversion. We get bored with our lives, even when it's work that's meaningful. And I think we also need these extended times to gain the clarity about our life, about what matters most, about our values. And all that has to happen with deep reflection. You know, when we're sitting on the side of a mountain or we're sitting on a beautiful lake and we've just got time to think, there's precious little time to think in the world that you and I live in. We bring our social media, it seems, almost everywhere.
Yes,
our lives are kind of constantly being pinged by, you know, distractions, really. And to have time where you're kind of forced to come face to face with yourself and do some serious self-reflection and ask yourself again, what matters most to me? Why am I doing what I'm doing? What relationships do I want to really focus on in this next year that are important, that maybe got pushed aside in the busyness and the hurriedness of life? You have time to do that when you have an extended time away.
You know, it's interesting how simply stepping back from your life affords a whole different perspective. Kind of like, you know, think of it in terms of viewing a piece of art. If you stand too close to it, you see one perspective. But in order to really take in the full scene or understand it, you really have to step back. And that's kind of what the sabbatical allows you to do, is step back from your life. And it gives you a different perspective on your priorities and your goals and what you want to accomplish, what really matters, that you can't get when you are basically face-to-face with your life, up close to it.
Well, the key word that you said there is perspective. And perspective is something that can happen in a lot of different ways, but I think it happens best when we extract ourselves from our current circumstances and we have a different point of view. It's just like you were talking about in the art gallery. When we were in Amsterdam, we went to several art galleries, and because Gail's an artist, and we loved that.
She's a very, very talented artist.
Well,
she's
I would
very
say thank
good.
You, but I don't have nothing to do with it. She does a great job at it, and she loves it.
She really does.
But there's something about art that serves that function, too. It gives you a different perspective. You can look at life through the eyes of an artist who sees it slightly different than you might see it. And the same thing when you travel, the same thing when you change settings. But that perspective is so important because we lose perspective in the rush of life with all the demands. And when we're trying to, you know, just kind of keep up with what's going on in our life, we lose perspective. I would say that's the number one reason people get discouraged, why they get burned out, why they want to give up, why they get depressed, why they, all that, you know, and I know there's clinical reasons for some of it, but loss of perspective.
Yeah, so true. Okay, so now let's get practical. Because the truth is I really need a sabbatical. So I need you to help
you
me.
You need one.
I need one.
I'm telling you.
Oh my goodness, what a year. So I need you to help me figure out how, practically speaking, I could do this. And it may not look like how you and Gail did your sabbatical, but for all of those who are listening and myself, those of us who say, yeah, that sounds like a great idea, but I could never do this. Walk us through the steps and how to make this possible.
Well, the first step is to embrace the possibility, because I think that we get hung up when we just say, I could never do that. The problem is not that we couldn't ever do it. The problem is that we think we can't ever do it. And as a result of that, we never do it. So what would have to be true for you to do it? You know, have you really exhausted the possibilities about, you know, what might be possible? So I think to just kind of say it out loud. And to just say, you know what, I'm going to do a sabbatical. Maybe it won't be this year. Maybe it won't be even next year. But maybe the year after, I could try to get the groundwork laid and figure it out so that I could get some extended time away. And maybe it's even just 2 weeks. You know, there's nothing magic in the number. Mm-hmm. I will say this, though.
Although I have to say, having a year sounds really, really wonderful right now, doesn't it?
It does. I don't know what I would do with myself for that long, because
I
even at the end
I
of
bet I could figure it out.
Could you? Yeah, you think you can, but even a month. I think this is one of those things that you have to progressively unplug.
Yeah. And you've been doing this, I should know, you've been doing this in some form or fashion for the last few years.
Yes.
And a couple times it was maybe a couple weeks, not a full month. But you've made this a priority the last couple summers, haven't
well,
you?
Well, a therapist friend of mine said to me, he said, there's something that happens to you after the first week. He said, because the first week, you know, at the end of that first week, you're thinking, oh, is this really coming to an end? I could so use another week. Mm-hmm. And then sometime in that second week, for a lot of us, and it was true for me, and he predicted it, I started feeling antsy, like, well, what do I do with myself? And then once you kind of push through that second week, then there's a whole new world that opens up. And where I'm at now in my sabbatical experience is that in that fourth week, I'm getting a little antsy to get back in the saddle again.
Yeah. Well, that probably means you're rested and refreshed to
yes.
a point where you are energized to kind of re-engage with life, which is a good sign.
But it really does start with embracing the possibility.
Okay.
And so just don't rule it out. Because again, I think that it's possible for almost anyone. It's not a financial thing. You know, there's lots of budget ways you can do it. In fact, last year I took a full 30-day sabbatical, and all I had to pay for was my flights to get where I was going and my food, which I would have had whether I was there or here. And the flights, even this time in Europe, all we did was we cashed in points from our American Express and paid for the whole trip. So there really wasn't that much expense. It doesn't have to be super expensive. You can be thoughtful about it. There's a lot of different ways to do it. But forget all that for now. For just this first step is just embrace the possibility. What if you
what
could?
What if? All right. I promise. I'm open-minded right now and very excited about the possibility. What would be the second step?
Well, I would say identify a timetable. You know, first of all, how long do you want it to be? And I would encourage you to go slow. If the most you've ever done is a week of vacation, then how about a 2-week vacation? You know, get used to that.
So don't jump from 1 week to a year.
Yeah.
And do it like a progressive.
I just think that's a huge change.
Yeah, it is.
It's a bigger change than you think.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, if you could do it, great. But some people don't have a choice. You know, you get laid off from a job.
But it is whatever. Amazing. We've done a 1 week and a 2 week vacation, and there is a big difference between those 6 or 7 days and jumping up to 10, 11, 12, 13, 14 days. And such a different experience.
It is. And there's, I mean, we could talk, I could say so much about where you stay and how that can impact it. Like the one thing that was negative about our European excursion was that we were changing hotels every few days.
Mm.
And that gets a little old after a while.
Yes.
You know, staying in one place is a good idea. We just didn't know what the one place was. We do now because we kind of scouted Europe.
Mm-hmm.
And so we know exactly where we want to go back for a month next time we do it. It happens to be in Switzerland, but that's another story.
You don't want to stay here because all of us would be traveling to stay there.
But yeah, so you got to get a timetable. I think put a date on it. It's like any kind of goal setting. Until there's a date on it,
it's not real.
It's not real,
it's
and your brain
not.
Doesn't even take it seriously.
Mm-hmm.
So put a date on it, even if it's 2 years out, even if it's 3 years out. Say, we're going to do this, and we're going to start planning toward it. I think it also infuses your life now with meaning because you have something that you're working toward that's meaningful.
And it helps set you up for success because it is an undertaking to plan and get
it
ready
is.
For this. So actually, which leads us to our next step. What is that third step then of creating or planning a sabbatical?
Yeah, well, you've got to create a plan to work ahead. And You know, if you're in a corporate job, you're probably going to have to do some negotiating with your boss, mm-hmm. and you're probably going to have to convince him or her that the work's going to get done in your absence. You know, so that may be negotiating with peers. It may be figuring out some alternative system, but the work has to get done. You know, if the company or your position can survive without you being there, then it sort of begs the question, why do they need you, period? Mm-hmm. So, you know, you got to figure out. Yeah, you don't want to get sent the wrong message. But and also if you're an entrepreneur, that's the tough one, because probably when you stop pushing, things stop happening.
Yes. And it takes a while to get it ramped back up again, too.
It does. And so I really had to lay the groundwork on that. Like, how was I going to get blog posts done? Mm-hmm. How are we going to schedule launches and product introductions around this sabbatical? It just took a little planning, that's all. A little coordination. But you've got to do that planning.
Which goes back to the timetable, which was step two, that you have to make sure you allow enough time in order to set that plan into place and work ahead.
Well, that's right. And another reason you want to plan ahead, too, is so you don't have anxiety on the trip.
Oh, that defeats the whole purpose.
I never forget one time Gail and I were going to Colorado for a 2-week vacation. This was several years ago when I was in the corporate mm-hmm. world. And we were flying through Dallas. So that was where we were changing planes to go on to Denver. And as we stopped in Dallas, I got a text message from my boss.
Uh-oh.
So this was the chairman I board.
Not good.
And I was like, it was kind of like in the middle of the recession. And I was wrung out, worn out, uh-huh. desperately needing this time away. And I'd planned it. I'd cleared it with the board. You know, I had it all set up. I get a text message. And he said, look, something's come up. We're coming to Nashville. He and his partner, we're coming to Nashville. We'll be there on Monday.
Oh, no.
And I mean, my heart sunk. Because
this
if
is on literally halfway through your flight to where you're going.
Yeah. And so I said to Gail, what do I do? And she said, well, whatever you decide, I'll totally support it. You may need to go back to Nashville. And I just said, no, I'm going to do my very best to enjoy this vacation.
Oh, good.
I deserve it. More importantly, you deserve it. Speaking
mm-hmm.
to Gail.
Mm-hmm. And it was a great way to honor her in that.
I'm sorry. Yeah. I'm just, this is my priority. And so I texted him back and I said, look, I'll have my team lined up. They'll meet with you. I'm so sorry I can't be there. But as I told you, I'm on my way to a 2-week vacation with my wife. And so.
So did it work out? I'm dying to know now.
It did. I will say that it was hard to kind of unhitch, you know, my brain, because I'm thinking the whole time.
Yeah, that's how I would be as well.
What's happening? And that's, by the way, one of the reasons you need to plan so that you can reduce some of that anxiety. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, you tend to think, well, what's the worst that could happen? Are things coming off the rails? You know, do they still need me? You know, all that stuff. So to the extent that you can plan it, but I will say this, taking a sabbatical, and this is true whether you take one day a week off or if you take a month off a year, it's an act of faith. Because basically what you're saying
you're
is...
You're right, though. I mean, that's...
I mean,
that's
it is.
That's tough, but you're absolutely like, right. That's what I have the hard step that I have taken is trusting it's all going to be okay. Well,
yeah, it really does take some courage.
Okay, so you mentioned something in that one particular situation where you let the your chairman of the board know that your team members were going to be at Access and ready to assist them, which actually leads us to the fourth step, which is to solicit the help of team members and family. So if you're going to be unplugged for 2 weeks or for a month, it's very important that you have a team in place to help with that, if you can, if at all possible, right?
You do. And I learned very early on in my career, I had a boss that was phenomenal, one of the best leaders I've ever known. And when he left on a vacation, he sent a memo to his entire staff putting me in charge. And he said, in my absence, Michael's in charge. Any decision he makes while I'm gone, I'll support when I return, no matter what it is.
Oh, nice.
And so I followed that same practice. And so I put somebody in charge.
So really empowering.
Yeah, empowering
them.
Mm-hmm. And I set the expectations of my team as well. I said, look, here's an emergency email if you have it. If you need to use it. And I probably, and we can talk about this more in depth if you want, but I essentially turned off all my email accounts and I had a vacation responder that responded to people and calibrated their expectations. And you saw this,
yes,
right?
Yes, I saw it many, many times.
So here's what I said, and I actually learned this from my good buddy, Stu McLaren, and I didn't actually like it at first, but I thought it was brilliant in hindsight. And it definitely was brilliant. I'll tell you why in a minute. But what I said to my vacation responder was, look, I'm gone for the next 30 days. Every email that's coming into this account is being deleted as it comes in. And if the issue is still unresolved and still important, then please email me when I return.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, here's why I'm doing that. Number one, I don't want to come back to a full inbox and particularly start answering email on issues that have already been resolved.
So true.
It's not good use of anybody's time. So I came back to a totally empty email inbox. And
which is actually better than most of us that are listening today, because we don't have empty email inboxes.
It was great. But well, I gave people a path. I told them, look, if it's an emergency or if it's something you need, here are the people to contact.
Exactly.
So I gave them an option.
So
I just
it's not like
them.
There was just a block, like a brick wall.
That's right.
I mean, you actually gave them, this is who you contact. This is how you get in touch with them.
Yep. So you got to set that up.
That was very smart. That's hard to let go. Again, another act of faith for you to kind of let that go. But I would imagine it went a long way to decreasing your anxiety or your kind of urge to check email or to, you know, to constantly be on. You could actually truly unplug because you knew it was taken care of. Nothing's there anyway. You'd already deleted them all, right?
So, well, I did. And
trusting your team to take care of it.
And I did it even on my blog. You know, I'd written the blog posts in advance. So I had at the end of it, each blog post, I said, look, I'm on my annual sabbatical and I won't be participating in the comments. And so I was just trying to calibrate everybody's expectations all through. Now, I didn't do anything on Twitter, but I didn't show up on Twitter other than scheduled posts that went with my blog posts.
How many of those did you do a day, scheduled posts?
Two.
Two a day? That's not too many. So
yeah. I use, by the way, an application called CoSchedule. That's a WordPress plugin. And so when I write the blog post, I schedule those status updates at the same time. And
got
some
it.
People do four. I just do two. And so they fire on the day when the blog post comes out.
So that was already done as you were writing the blog posts and everything. So it's not like you had to do a separate whole task where you sat down at Hootsuite or whatever and did it all.
I chose to stay engaged on Facebook only because for me, Facebook is not work. It's entertainment.
Mm-hmm.
And I was
both of your Facebook, like your personal profile as well as your professional page or just one?
Both.
Both. Okay.
But honestly, my professional one is, you know, I just post on it.
Okay.
I don't engage that much. There's not that much engagement.
And then your personal profile is really for your close friends and family
exactly.
to kind of follow your trip, which that makes sense. You want your family to kind of follow along with what you guys are doing and where you're at and all that fun stuff.
And I thought it was just kind of a different thing, you know, for me to post about my trip. And I tried every day to post a photograph and some vignette. And for me, writing, this was a different kind of writing, travel writing. It wasn't the kind of writing I do day in and day out. So it really got to be fun to think, okay, how can I explain this experience I had? Like when I'm walking through Wengen, Switzerland, and base jumpers come out of the sky and their parachutes explode 1,000 feet above our head and we weren't expecting it. So how do I describe that and write about it? So that was a totally different kind of writing and a totally different experience.
It's kind of fun. It's not work. That's more fun stuff. I'm not sure about the exploding people above my head, but...
It was different, definitely.
Okay, let's move on to step number five.
Okay.
What is that?
So step number five is to create a reentry plan.
Okay. Now, this is key. This one is very intriguing to me because I find that if I unplug and if I don't have a reentry plan, I can all the good that I gained from being away kind of implodes. So,
well, I've done this very poorly in the past. And I've done it poorly because I just haven't thought about it. And so, for example, here's a classic way to do it poorly. You know, you're gone for a whole week. You don't give your staff any guidance. And you come back that first day to a full inbox and a schedule full of meetings.
Mm-hmm. Not a good idea.
And you just think to yourself, I'm never going away again. This just isn't
it's
worth it.
It's not worth it. How many times have I said that? It's just not worth it. It's more work to go on vacation than just to stay
exactly.
and work. Yeah.
So for several days or several years, I've always planned a reentry period. And for shorter vacations, it might be a day just to get caught up or a couple days to get caught up. This time, I pretty much planned an entire week.
Hmm.
So
that's smart, though.
Yeah. So I just didn't have that much going on. I mean, you know, this is actually the first week. So we're doing this recording, but you've been doing all the work. So I'm just showing up and talking. But seriously, you've got to plan that reentry period so that you don't regret having gone on the vacation, and you're able to accomplish what you need to accomplish, answer the emails that were ever. Like yesterday, for example, I had two meetings, and one of them was a calendar review where we just looked at what's coming up in the fall. But nothing was on fire. It literally was all handled while I was gone.
You know, I typically when I go on vacation, what we do or take any kind of break, we try to squeeze all the time we can. So that means we're getting home, let's say, at, you know, 10 o'clock on Sunday night so I can go back to work Monday morning. And that is never a good idea. We've slowly learned, my husband and I have learned, that we need at least a one day cushion. Come back on Saturday so we have one day to kind of get back into the swing of things without diving right back into the mad, crazy schedule again. But I think more than one day is necessary. And that's kind of what you're talking about here.
Well, and they say, and I don't know if this is true, but I'm experiencing this right now, as I said, for every hour shift in time zone, you should allow a day of recovery, you know, just for jet lag. Mm-hmm. And so where we were in Europe, it was a 7-hour shift from where we are in Central Time Zone.
So 7 days.
Yeah, so 7 days. So it makes sense.
That's good advice. Okay, so what's the final step? First of all, we have step one was embrace the possibility. Step two, identify a timetable. Step three, create a plan to work ahead. Step four, solicit the help of team members and family. Step five, create a reentry plan. And step six is?
Unplug and enjoy.
So if you do all of that, you actually get to enjoy the time off. That's the ideal.
I got to tell you a few stories. But while we were in Europe, one of the things that I loved the best is that because we were unplugged, because our phones didn't work, you know, so we're getting no social media unless we're in the hotel intentionally deciding that we're going to engage in Facebook, and Gail and I were both doing that, but we're at dinner, and in Europe, they don't just, you know, it's not just a refueling pit stop, you know, it's a 2-hour deal.
It's an experience.
It's an experience, and it's every meal, you know, so we got to just talk, and you can't speed up the service there. It's just a different mindset.
What's it like to have dinner where you actually have conversation and people aren't on their phones and...
Oh, it's so great.
Isn't it so important? And we kind of are losing the art of that. What a beautiful thing to be able to reengage with that with your spouse.
And we talked about things that in any other context, we wouldn't have the time to talk about.
Oh, true.
But to really pursue those more in-depth conversations where you really want to develop the content and go further and ask the deep questions. And yeah, we got really, I think, pretty good at those conversations.
And, you know, before we started recording, you had mentioned, too, there was some withdrawals from that when you come back and get back into life, because it was such a sweet time together that when it's over, you do miss it. I guess probably that's a good reminder that you need to do it again.
You do. I was saying to you earlier that because Gail and I were together 24/7 for 30 days, when I came back and she went off with the grandkids one day, you know, a little bit of a separation anxiety on my part. It's like, wait a second, where's my
other
half?
Where are you going?
but it's a great time to get aligned.
That's a good sign.
And I do think that one of the best things you can do, still under the same step, is what do you enjoy? You know, when the work is stripped away, do you have anything else you want to pursue? And for me, and I learned this from my dad, who is like an amazing hobbyist. Mm-hmm. He's always learning something. He's growing in some area. And so for me, this trip, it was photography. And it's been different things in different years. But to really pursue that in a way that I could never do in the busy time of my life, you know, when I'm trying to work it in and the morning or the evening when I should be doing something else. It was just great.
You know, that's an interesting thought. And I would love to do that as well. I mean, just to have something that you can invest in that is for the thrill of it, the fun of it, without having some kind of ulterior, driving force behind it just for fun. I mean, it's so crazy that it seems just like a novel idea, but it does.
Yeah, just an in itself. It was great.
So now for those like me that can't necessarily do a month or can't necessarily... I shouldn't say can't, because I'm open to the possibility.
Good. Thank you. Thank you. I was about to correct you.
But it may not happen right now. So let's say I may start planning something next year or the year after. But let's say I need something today. Mm-hmm. Can we do a mini sabbatical over the weekend?
Absolutely.
And what does that look like? Do I have to go somewhere? Can I do that from home? How would I set that up so there's some kind of benefit to it?
Well, I think the key thing, Michelle, is to be just intentional with the time. You know, these things don't happen by accident. So if you're going to intentionally unplug and set aside a time, maybe it's just an afternoon, maybe it's just a Sunday afternoon, maybe it's an all-day Saturday where you're going to get away, but to say, I'm going to be very deliberate, I'm going to be very intentional, and what outcome do I want? How do I want to feel at the end of this time? And I was very purposeful in the sabbatical about that. You know, I want to be really rested. I want to be playful during this so that I learn new things and my mind is refreshed and I'm restored and I'm ready to, you know, hit the ground running when I come back. So I think you can do that even if it's just an afternoon in a week or if it's a weekend that you get away, but to be intentional.
So now that you've done this and you've come back, how would you describe kind of your state of mind right now today? If you could sum it up in one or two words, what would you say?
I feel enormously rested, which is something you almost never hear from anyone.
It's true. Right there is a sell for me. Hearing that word, I think I've bought in.
Well,
that's
I'll be jet lagged, you know, later today. But I feel enormously rested. I feel fulfilled. Uh-huh. You know, I feel like because I was able to nurture that creative, artistic side of myself and give expression to that, I feel very fulfilled, and I'm very engaged in what I'm doing now. I just have a new perspective. You know, when I left, I was tired and I had been working long hours and we'd gone through several video shoots, but now I'm kind of eager to get back into it and enjoying this.
Well,
it feels like play.
That's good. And I have to say, first of all, I'm glad you're back. It's nice to have you back. I don't have to get that ridiculous vacation message on your email anymore. But for those who are listening and aren't here, there is a spark about you. I mean, you look rested. You look refreshed, which is a wonderful thing. And it's contagious. It makes me want to do the same thing. So for those of you who have been with us today, if you've enjoyed today's conversation, you can get the show notes and a complete transcript of the entire episode at michaelhyatt.com. And for those who would prefer to watch rather than listen, you can also see the video at michaelhyatt.com as well. Any final thoughts, Michael?
Well, I did cheat. Twice.
Oh, true confessions at the end of the episode.
Yeah, I think I would reframe this as a win because I only cheated twice, but I did look at email twice. And I told people that I was deleting their email messages, but they were actually going to Gmail's all mail function because you can't actually delete them.
Yeah,
but
the archive.
I just scanned them twice. I mean, it probably was a total of 20 minutes. But I still think that was a win.
Well, for you, and I only say this because I'm like you in so many ways, that's a huge win. Only twice in a month. That's pretty impressive.
Well
done, Michael.
Thank you.
Welcome back. Well, thank you for being with us today. Until next time, remember, your life is a gift. Do what matters. On the next episode of This Is Your Life, Michael and I talk about the absolute necessity of accountability and how you as a leader can take actions to develop it in your life. Obviously, there's some benefit in empathy and compassion and hearing people's struggles and venting and sharing with one another in our difficulties. But we've almost done that to the exclusion of a sense of responsibility and accountability, where we've kind of like thrown the baby out with the bathwater kind of thing. We've lost that sense of, you know, sometimes we just need to step up and take responsibility.
Well, and if you think about the kind of mindset that goes into this, you know, if you're a victim, what it really is saying is that the reason I am the way I am is outside of my control. Mm-hmm. It's not a very empowering thing, because then suddenly I'm being pushed around by forces I don't fully understand and can't control. But once we accept accountability and responsibility, suddenly everything is back inside of our control. We really can make a difference in our lives and the lives of the people that we lead.
That's next time on This Is Your Life.